Hello and welcome to A-Team Group's podcast on leveraging the cloud to support maximum compute performance, brought to you from a panel session at our Trading Tech Summit in London on February the 27th. The podcast focuses on infrastructure design and approach, when to use the cloud, how to support legacy and cloud systems in a hybrid environment, and managing data in the cloud. The panel was moderated by Jim Alton, Associate Partner and Cloud Practice SME at CityHub, and joined by Peter Williams, Chief Technology Officer at CJC, Robert Johnson, Chief Technology Officer at Cormant, Robert Griffiths, Director and Head of High Performance Computing and Cloud Services at MUFG Securities EMEA, and Bill Beards, President at BCC Group.
We're going to talk today about how we leverage the cloud. I mean, specifically, really, we're going to talk about HPC today. Although that was the brief, I very much suspect we will expand from that. I think it's fair to say for most, certainly the big sell-side firms that I work with, HPC was probably the first, well, among the first, if not the first use case looking when driving adoption of public cloud. But that's not to say it's a fully solved problem or to say that there aren't sort of key decisions or hurdles that need to be overcome when driving that adoption and that roadmap. So with that in mind, we've got a great panel here today represented from the buy side, the sell side, and also from the service provider ecosystem. Hoping they will, in fact, I'm confident they will give us some good insight into some of those considerations. Before I hand over to them to do some intros, I think we're going to run a quick panel first. We'll let that run while we're doing the introductions, but if everyone can get ready on their Slidos, hopefully you're kind of familiar with this by now, and we should see that first one pop up. So really, this is just, where do you see, in your experience, what are the biggest barriers to cloud adoption from your perspective? So, okay, wow. I don't know if it's going to stay there, but we'll let that run for a bit. While we do, want to hand over, starting with you on the left, please, Peter, some introductions.
So I'm Peter Williams, CTO at CJC. At CJC, we specialise in managed and professional services for global capital markets firms. Our solutions leverage deployed and cloud, and we really do focus and specialise in real-time market data delivery platforms. And we've been embracing cloud, both public and private, for a number of years. And presently, we're helping our customers accelerate their deployment into cloud for specialist complex systems.
Hi, I'm Rob Johnson. I work for Cormant. I'm a partner and CTO there. We're an asset management servicing company you've never heard of. There's a little clue if you go to www.cormant.com. DNS lookup fails at Brevan Howard. So we were spun out of Brevan Howard last year and have been in stealth mode segregating everything so that Alan can't see anyone else's stuff. We're effectively utilising what's been built up in Brevan Howard over the years, sticking a really nice front end on it and making it globally available to other funds. I will not be talking about MiFID II or Brexit. I can promise you that, and please punch me in the face if I do. It's for my own good. And latency, I'm not talking about that either, because from the buy side, fast enough is all we really care about. Monday is pretty good. Possibly Tuesday at a pinch. What I do care about is cost, availability, flexibility, scalability, and cost again. We built our product on AWS, with a rather nice front end, although I do have experience dealing with Azure and Google as well.
My name is Robert Griffiths. I look after high performance computing and cloud services at MUFG. It's within the securities arm of MUFG, one MUFG and all that. We have been doing high performance computing in the cloud in production since the end of 2012. So you can say we've been using Azure since the day it was in nappies, really, from the incubation period. It's been a journey for sure. We are currently rolling out more workloads into the cloud, not just high performance computing ones. And we're on a different kind of journey now.
Great, thank you. And my name is Bill Beards. I work for a company called BCC Group International. We have a product in our portfolio called the One Solution, which is essentially a market data aggregator. We have partnerships with all the major data providers. We do entitlements, we do ingestion, we do distribution via one API. We're partnering with many of the firms up here and many of you guys, I'm sure, to help move market data into the cloud. We believe that is the right place for market data, most of the market data, and we like to be the ones that help push that and make that a reality. So,
great. Thank you very much, everyone. So just a quick review of that. I think it's pretty overwhelming at the moment. Security seems to top the list. And surprisingly, given, I guess, a lot of the conversation this morning, compliance and regulation is right down the bottom. Okay, so I think we're going to run one more of these later on. We'll interleave that in with the rest of the conversation. But I mean, maybe we'll just kick it off now. Going back, going really down to the fundamentals. Think about the basic deployment patterns or service models that we could employ for our HPC platforms, private cloud, public cloud, maybe even bare metal as a service. Maybe good to get the some insight from the panel. What are your experiences with those different models? What considerations should firms be taking when looking at what the right mix is for them? Maybe if I pick on you, Peter, to start.
Yeah, so from my perspective, we're a facilitator, so we don't have an application that we want to put in the cloud ourselves. We have our own tools to wrap around it, but we don't have a sort of a dog in that fight. And what we coach people on it is really take a step back. Don't kind of make assumptions. You get a lot of people that say, I'm moving to cloud, and they'll just spin up a VM, install what they always installed in the same way they always installed it, and then go, it doesn't perform any better, or in fact, it's worse, and it costs more. And it's like, well, what did you expect? You did the same thing. So we sort of suggest that there's two ends of the spectrum you need to sort of really understand. What does your workload do? Understand your workloads. What do they do? What do they need from their infrastructure to do what they do? How do they do what they do? And then I'll get onto this in a little bit more detail later on, but what do the users need from it? A lot of people will try and kind of boil the ocean and say, oh, we have to put it in, maximum performance and all of this stuff. And actually, understanding those fundamental things is one part of it. But then at the other side of the scale, understand what the clouds do. All the clouds are different. Yes, they provide the same thing, but they do it in different ways, and maybe they cost it differently, or maybe there's different benefits of doing it with one provider over another. If you can get a good understanding of those two things, you can make some really smart decisions about how you deploy your workloads in the future, and how you really leverage cloud in the way that it's really meant to be, and that's reinvention and efficient utilization.
So I guess the message is don't bring the kind of baggage of the old world across to the new world.
If at all possible.
Yeah, sure. And Rob G, maybe if you're from your experience, I think you're fair to say you were really pretty much an early adopter of Azure. I mean, tell us a bit about the journey you went on there, and maybe what kind of mix have you got, public versus private for your group workloads?
I've certainly got all the battle scars and the wounds from dealing with all these things from the early days. So it was originally a question of how do we make our workload capacity more flexible? And so you obviously have the option of buying more stuff in the data center, but nobody really wants to do that, especially when it's a very large bill, a very large digital option on buying a new data center. So how can we be smarter about doing this? So we had some problems to solve regarding particular need for computation at the end of day, for example, to deliver the risk quicker. So we wanted to borrow some computers, and Sun had been around for a very long time, offering their $1 per core hour. But nobody was really doing that. At this point, we had an on-premises grid, and we looked at alternative solutions. And at the time, Microsoft did have a product that was amenable to using their infrastructure in the cloud on a temporary basis, but delivered via platform as a service. So again, we were relatively early adopters of platform as a service rather than infrastructure as a service. Sure. And actually, this was ultimately very successful. It took a very long time to get there, and lots of very close working partnership with Microsoft to deliver and improve product features that we needed to make it work for our own needs. As a result, as I said, we've been live since 31st of December 2012 on scalable, burstable workloads in the cloud, and we've now continued to do so and expanding that remit, looking at additional ways that we can actually make use of maybe more native solutions to the cloud for some of our compute facilities, as well as adopting non-HPC workloads as well.
And are you you use, I think you use the word scalable burstable, so are you using the cloud just to skim off the top of the demand, or are you and you're holding some sort of certain capacity internally? Or
there is some capacity internally. It's probably something we will never get rid of, probably. Yeah. Never say never, but the fact that you can turn it around straight away. But if I tell you that if I look at our weekly utilization for the servers that are on-prem, if we hit 30%, we're doing well.
So that's
whereas
not
the stuff on cloud, yeah, for the time they're being deployed, if we drop below 90, we're having a bad day.
So that's not for the reason that it's cheaper to hold certain capacity internally. It's more about the data or the type of application.
Yeah, so we do have, you know, the workload in which it's delivered is still quite legacy.
Yeah.
So everything from, you know, the market data side, the deal data side, the way in which the information is extracted from our core booking systems and the market data platforms, all of the risk scenarios, they all sit on-prem. It was kind of designed that way. Again, you're talking 8 years ago, so
sure,
people different mindsets at the time. And actually, we squirt up everything we need to calculate in the cloud. It calculates it, and it squirts back a very small amount because extraction is much more expensive than input.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And that's the way it works. So if we want to make it scale better, faster, quicker, whatever, all those good words, then we will need to move the data to the cloud in the first place. So all of our, you know, the UR data, the original data, the stuff from which we calculate all of the requests, that can be done in a scalable fashion. That can be, the throughput can be improved. So then we will moving from so-called high performance to a high throughput computing, which actually is much better. And we'll be able to deliver the results quicker because we'll be able to scale faster, work for shorter, and then the results get returned quicker. That's still work in progress.
But that sort of model makes sense to me. Like when I speak to people and they talk about doing stuff, a lot of people seem to assume you have to do it wholesale.
Mm.
And we're saying to people, no, so think of it as a spectrum, right? It's about putting
stuff
in the right place. And
yeah,
the way I imagine it will be is the thin end of the wedge will be the on-prem, the differentiation stuff, maybe the stuff that you really don't want to let out there.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
fine.
You go into private, and that might be because you need niche technology or niche skills. And then the rest of the workloads can be pushed out into public where it's more kind of consumable and efficient.
So the workloads that we have right now are in public cloud.
Yeah,
just it's obviously, you know, fully secured in HTTPS
and all that
kind of jazz, right? So that's all good, and secure data at rest and transit, blah, blah, blah. That's all fine. But actually, it's bog standard public cloud.
Well, with the thing earlier on with the majority of people saying security is a big concern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just how you deploy
security
it.
Of what?
What is this concern?
It's a big topic.
What are they concerned?
It's
a big topic.
Yeah. So I thought we got rid of this 5 years ago, but it's back.
Yeah. There's a quite nice segue there into the next question we were talk about, which was, I know we do have quite a lot of cloud evangelists on the panel here, so maybe to bring a little bit of realism, we were going to talk about where shouldn't we use the cloud. Bill, I think you are one of those evangelists, but I think it's touched on data and data gravity an issue.
You know, I think you've got to identify those workloads that are clearly not cloud safe.
Yeah.
I mean, things that you feel are very close to the security of your business or private data or something, but even HR applications are going into the cloud now. A lot of things like that, which could be considered very secure, are there. So I think you need to, it's a walk-run thing. You've got to, just like with my market data to the cloud, when I talk to clients, they all want to do it, but they're all just a little nervous about the fear of change. And I think it's the same thing with the cloud. It's you got to pick a few, as Pete said, you got to pick a few things that you're comfortable with, start to dabble a bit in what you can do in the cloud, and then it'll grow from there once you get comfortable with it. And I think that's a key thing here. So there are going to be things you're never going to put in the cloud. There's no doubt. But I would say that, you know, I would err on the side of saying yes over no, unless it's something really blatant that you don't want to have in the cloud. Because every piece of workload can be done there now, in my opinion. So.
Yep. And Rob J, I mean, in terms of your sort of stance as a firm, do you have a clear guidelines as to what?
I nearly broke my pencil. I'm so angry. All right. So the security thing. I mean, really. you all share data centers, so you all share real estate with other people. We have data segregation. You have physical segregation there. But yeah, HR, eDays, PeopleSoft, everybody uses it. So all your clients or your personal stuff is in the cloud. Salesforce, who doesn't use Salesforce? So all your client data is in the cloud. I mean, get real. Right. Moving on. Around the original pitch was about getting into the cloud, how do you do it? So we've got a kind of a cloud first policy, which it sounds a bit hackneyed, but that's just what we do now. I get people to give me a justification if they actually want to buy a server. That's where we're at now. That's not to say that we're in a great place, because we still have inherited a business that was on-premise. So we have lots of data repositories. My first task I set myself as CTO last year was map it, do all the data at rest, all the data flows, all the data transformations. And then what can we move into cloud? And the answer is pretty much everything.